Hi, my name is Gabriel, one of the pastors at Koinonia. We are starting a new series this week. The name is called Man Up, Discovering Biblical Manhood through 2 Timothy. Before we dive into the Bible, let's talk a little bit about culture. Since the 1970s, ideas about gender role have changed a lot. You can tell. The clear divide between what men and women are expected to do has faded. And as we all know, people have been more free to choose how they live and express themselves, both at home and at work and at school as well, without following strict gender rules. And both men and women are encouraged to value traits such as modesty, care, and nurturing, and greater emphasis on gender equality. And in order to understand the impact of this kind of culture shift, a recent American study was conducted to explore the impact of this culture shift on the understanding of manhood among young males. In this research called The State of American Man 2023, over 2,000 American male young adults were surveyed. And it was found that as many young men navigate expectation to be more emotionally open and supportive of gender equality, they often experience confusion and uncertainty about their roles and about their identity. Just give you one statistic, I won't give you too many. According to this study, 75% of young people believe that young men face either a great deal or some pressure from society to act in traditional masculine ways. So while the progress towards gender equality seems to create many positive changes, it has also introduced new challenges for young men in developing a strong and healthy sense of identity. So in light of all these challenges, for the coming 4 weeks, we will launch a series on biblical manhood through the story of a young man in the New Testament. And we will also ask this following question: what does the man of God look like? And what quality does the man of God have? And who should we strive to become as we mature? Well, I'm sure we've just started 3 minutes. Just a note for our female audience here, I'm sure we have maybe even more female than male. Although this series focuses on manhood, many of the quality we'll be exploring tonight and the coming 3 weeks are equally relevant to women as well. So please stay tuned, okay? But let's get started. Man Up, Discovering Biblical Manhood through 2 Timothy. Timothy will be our main character of the coming 4 weeks. Timothy was actually facing one of his toughest moments in his life. As a young man, like around maybe early to mid-30s, he was yearning for a guiding soul, seeking for someone who was able to walk beside him through the storm. So let's find out more about who is Timothy. The name Timothy in Greek is Timotheos. You can see a little Greek letter there, meaning honoring God, which is a very good name. And according to Acts chapter 16, Timothy's hometown is from Lystra in the Roman province of Galatia. This is where the book of Galatians was from. Timothy became a Christian possibly during the first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. As we know that in the Bible, Paul made a few trips to of missionary journey. So this is the first time when Paul was traveling, he met Timothy, and Timothy became Christian through Paul. And as Paul identified Timothy's potential, he invited Timothy to join his second missionary journey. And after that, Timothy was frequently traveling with Paul and was sent on mission to different churches. Eventually, this is where our book, the context is, Timothy became the pastor of the church in the city of Ephesus. Being a pastor in Ephesus was not an easy task, primarily because of the presence of one building in the city, which is called the Temple of Artemis. The Temple of Artemis, also known as the Temple of Diana. If you read a little bit about history, actually Diana or Artemis was a Greek temple dedicated to an ancient localized form of the goddess Artemis. So this is the temple. The temple was part of a powerful, deeply rooted pagan system that permeate every aspect of the Ephesians society. And when the church at Ephesus, this temple represented a major spiritual challenge, you can imagine, right? In Richmond, we have a lot of temples, especially on number 5. Thank God we don't feel that much challenge, but for Ephesus, it's a lot different. For the churches of Ephesus, this temple represents a major spiritual challenge. And the pervasive influence of Artemis worship contributed to false teaching within the church. And false teachers were spreading doctrines contrary to the gospel, promoting deceptive doctrines, and leading people away from the truth. And you can imagine, as the pastor of this church in Ephesus, Timothy's task was not easy. He's supposed to shepherd the church through this hostile environment, to uphold Christian doctrine, to encourage the believers, and to stand firm in the faith. As a young pastor, when the going gets tough, Timothy would be yearning for a guiding soul, for someone who is able to walk beside him through the storm. And perhaps you might wonder, hey, how about the Apostle Paul? Was Paul not there to help him? According to the second letter to Timothy, Paul was actually in prison at that moment. The time was around AD 65. And in fact, the Apostle Paul wasn't just in prison. He had been sentenced to death by the Romans, and his days were numbered. So in the midst of all the challenges, then came one day. One day, Timothy received a letter. A letter sent from Rome. A letter sent from a dark Roman prison jail. A letter sent by Paul, the apostle, who was awaiting death. So let's take a look at how this letter begins. To Timothy, my beloved child, I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestor, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. Unlike some other letter by Paul in the New Testament, sometimes Paul wrote to churches, right? For example, Galatian churches, in other churches. But this letter, 2 Timothy, is a personal letter from Paul directly to Timothy. So to Timothy, my beloved child. Timothy is no stranger to Paul. And in fact, when this letter was written, when I do a little math, actually, Timothy had known Paul for about 15 years already. Paul then continued to mention about their relationship. Even though Paul was in jail, Paul did not forget Timothy. Paul remembered Timothy constantly in his prayers, night and day. And Paul was also aware of Timothy's situation. So he wrote, I remember your tears. I don't know how Paul was told that, maybe through other messenger. So Paul knew that Timothy was not in an easy position. Paul said, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. So right from the beginning of this letter, we can tell that Timothy was no stranger to Paul. And when we read the third chapter of this letter, 2 Timothy, we also notice that Paul gave a very important reminder to Timothy. After describing the challenging situation in the last days, in chapter 3, verse 10, Paul reminds Timothy that you, however, have followed my teaching. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. You have followed my teaching. And since Timothy became a Christian, as we just mentioned, he has started following Paul's teaching. You can imagine. When Paul invited Timothy to join his missionary journey, this mentoring relationship continued to grow. And Paul continued to play a key role in the spiritual growth of Timothy. But besides giving out just theories about how to become a Christian, how to be follow God or stuff like that, Paul's teaching was also supported by his own life and also by the suffering that he endured. Let's take a look at the verses again. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You, however, have followed my teaching, but Paul didn't stop there. My conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfast love is the whole list. And then Paul also at my persecution, my suffering, because Paul was in jail. That happens to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. Actually, this is where Timothy was born, which persecution I endure. So Paul truly lived a consistent life of righteousness, of self-control. Paul didn't just teach Timothy some Christian living in a nice room in the school. Paul was in jail, but Paul was still teaching him something. And he reminded steadfast to his principle through many persecution. In this chapter, chapter 3, after Paul helped Timothy to recount what God has been working in his life, Paul also encouraged Timothy to look ahead to the future. Verse 14, but as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Knowing from whom you learn. Paul urged Timothy to persist on the same path. Continue in what you have learned. Continue in what you have firmly believed. Verse 14. And the reason why Timothy can continue is because what he has learned from Paul. Not just some theory, but from a real person, real example. And from this personal letter, we notice a strong mentoring relationship between Paul and Timothy. I'm sure you can tell from the first word when Paul addressed this letter until here, chapter 3. You can see a strong mentoring relationship. And in fact, this mentoring relationship repeats throughout the letter. For example, I'll give you two more examples. Chapter 1, verse 13. Paul said, follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me. Paul say it very directly. And then chapter 2, verse 2. What you, Timothy, have learned from me and trust to faithful men. So in the midst of all the tremendous hardship, Paul reminded Timothy again and again, you have more than just textbook theory, textbook solution about dealing with the problems in Ephesus. Timothy, rest assured that you have been blessed with someone. A mentoring relationship that was started more than a decade, actually it's 15 years ago, with none other than me, Paul said. And the key to overcome is to follow Paul's example in enduring hardship. There's no other way, but this is Paul's example, how he endured hardship. So church, just imagine, if you were Timothy, one day you receive a personal letter from your longtime mentor. Instead of teaching you new tricks, he affirmed you that you are on the right track. What you need to do is to keep going, keep running until the end. Even though Paul's letter may not change the situation at Ephesus. Paul is in jail, you know, Timothy was still facing all the challenges. But I'm sure what Paul wrote has made a significant difference in the heart of Timothy. 2,000 years ago, Ephesus must have been felt like an insurmountable mountain for Timothy. You can imagine, wow, this is not an easy job, right? But Timothy refused to be crushed by the brutal reality that surrounded him. Through personal relationship, teaching, and example, Timothy was encouraged by Paul to keep running the race and to keep fighting the good fight. At life crossroad, we often yearn for a guiding soul, one who inspires, leads, and walks beside us through the storm. And before we conclude this message, I have two questions for, well, most of us. I want to address these two questions for our brothers here. First question, just as how Timothy's life was impacted by Paul, have you ever asked God to send you a Paul, someone you can look up to? Whether you're only 16, maybe you're in grade 8, or you're already in your 20s or 30s or up, it's never too late to say this prayer, to ask God. Ask God to bless you with someone you can look up to. Agree? I also have a second question. Just as how God used Paul to make a difference in the life of Timothy, my question is, have you ever considered becoming a Paul? Someone who makes a difference in the life of the younger ones. I don't know how young, maybe 5 years apart or even more. Well, besides Paul and Timothy, let me share with you a more recent story about how a young man was blessed by a mentoring relationship, okay? From around 2015 to 2018, which is 7, 8 years ago, for 3 years, God has been using Pastor Carson, Elaine, Joyce, and some other servant to train up a group of young people through something called KMA, Koinonia Music Academy. And I'm thankful that one of the KMA graduates was Caleb, which is my son. He is kind of in the middle, if you can tell, counting from the right. The third is, I think it's David. So one more is Caleb, which is right in front of Pastor Carson. Yeah. I still recall the time when our family relocated from Toronto to Vancouver in 2014. At that time, Caleb was around grade 7, grade 8. We were pretty sad because Caleb needed to give up a lot of extracurricular activity, a lot of growing opportunity, including he was enrolled in a gifted program, but since we relocate, so we need to skip that one. And also, we need to skip his hockey game and baseball team, stuff like that. But after a year, 2015, after we moved to Vancouver, we heard about the launching of KMA. And we were happy that Caleb got accepted when he was around grade 9, thank God. And however, the commitment level was pretty high, if I remember correctly, for both the youth there and also the parent. KMA classes meet every week, every Sunday afternoon, if I remember correctly, at least for 3 hours or something like that. So there was a huge commitment. But interestingly, the story did not end at KMA. Pastor Carson was also Caleb's piano teacher for quite a while at the same period of time. And during those critical growing years, so grade 9 to around grade 11, that my wife and I were truly thankful that our son has someone to look up to. Not just in music learning, not just in training about worship, but also his spiritual growth in God as well. As Shirley and I look back, this big brother relationship was truly one of the best gifts our family has received after we started our new chapter in Vancouver. Truly, yeah, we are really thankful about that. So, this is our little story. We are who we are because of those who invested the life in ours. We are who we are because of those who invested the life in ours. Well, so much about KMA, so much about my family story, but let's take a look around us at where we are as a congregation in May 2025. I did a quick survey in our church directory. I think in our English congregation now, there are around a dozen boys, mostly grade 8 to grade 10. I didn't count the young adults, okay? So around in high school, I think around grade 10, we have around 12 boys. Some of them have been to Kapoor since they were babies. Some of them just joined us more recently as well. Church, let's imagine a little bit. Let's imagine that what if God will bless each of our high school boys with a spiritual big brother? What if God will bless each of our high school boys with a spiritual big brother who will walk with them through their most critical years in middle school, in secondary school? And would you also pray to God and consider maybe one day God will prepare you to be used by God to become a Paul, a big brother? We are who we are because those who invested their life in ours. And perhaps some of us may ask, so what exactly does a Christian big brother do? So let me give you a little checklist so at least you have some idea, okay? This is not a complete list. Number one, a regular check-in. Paul and Timothy has built a mentoring relationship for over a decade. So big brother also needs to be intentional in establishing regular check-ins. You can start with meeting for a coffee or bubble tea or a walk or some activity that you both enjoy. That's number one. Number two, reading the Bible together. You can create opportunity to read the Bible together. Paul reminded Timothy to continue in what he has learned and firmly believe. So the foundation of the Christian mentoring relationship is always God's Word. And as a big brother, you may want to establish a habit of reading the Bible together. And through this habit, something simple, don't have to be very, you're not giving a lecture, you can demonstrate to your mentee that God's Word is relevant. God's Word makes sense to our growing challenge. Number three, pray together. They're all simple stuff. It's like it's not complicated. Paul remembered Timothy constantly in his prayer. When you meet, the big brother can ask, so how can I pray for you this week? And then you can pray, you know, in person. But also after that, make sure you follow up the next time you meet. You can ask your mentee, is there anything that you are thankful for, you know, since we last meet? Have you noticed God is answering your prayer in any way, for example, right? Number four, be transparent. Paul did not just teach Timothy in theory. The apostle also demonstrated how to endure hardship as Christ's follower. So as a big brother in Christ, perhaps to be prepared to be transparent and ready in sharing your own struggle is important about following Jesus. Prepare to share how you endure suffering in your own faith journey as well. We are who we are because of those who invested their life in ours. So just as Paul charged Timothy, God is also calling us too in Koinonia to step up, to be bold. Even though the situation is challenging, when opportunity arises, prepare to step up the plate. At life crossroad, when we see people yearning for a guiding soul, are you willing to step up and become someone to inspire, to lead, and to walk beside the other person through the storm? At this moment, I would like to give us a minute of quiet reflection. Let's reflect what we have learned about mentoring and about making a difference in someone else's life. And now, church, tonight I would like to do something a little bit different. I would like to pray for all the males in our congregation. It's my first time doing it. I haven't done it before. So when I invite all the brothers, whether you're in high school or college, university, or young adults and up, I invite you to stand. With all the male, please stand, regardless of your age. And I really want to pray for you. Let's pray together. Dear God, just as how you blessed Timothy and Paul, I also pray for your blessing upon all the brothers in our congregation. At the right time, may you also bless them with someone they can look up to. Dear God, I pray specifically for all the brothers in high school. Lord, you know their minds, you know their heart. Bless each of them with someone they can look up to in these critical growing years. Lord, I also pray for the adults, especially young adults among us. I pray that you will speak to their heart, give them courage to step up and consider if you are willing to become a Paul, to become a big brother, to step up and be someone who make a difference in the life of the younger brothers among us. So Lord, have mercy on us. Speak to us. Change our hearts. Take away the fear and fill our hearts with God-given courage.